Today we're going to be discussing the State of the Union. As is customary, I have a few announcements to make at the beginning. Those of you who haven't registered will kindly do so at the end of the session. Somebody lost a beautiful pair of leather gloves. If they are unclaimed at the end of the day, I'm going to take them home. Luncheon will be at 12:15 next door, just down the hall. We will reconvene punctually at 2 to discuss philosophy and religion. Eliseo Vivas will chair that panel. The struggle for the world is a pretty broad and all-encompassing discussion topic. It serves to focus our attention on a simple truth. It's obvious to anyone who cares to look around him that the people in the societies dedicated to personal liberty, economic freedom, and peaceful order in the world are in full retreat. Each day a new dictator springs up. Each day the internal cohesion and moral integrity of the surviving non-totalitarian countries becomes weaker and weaker. In 1787, one group of revolutionaries, the Americans, proposed a new order, which, though novel in form, was deeply rooted in the British tradition of self-government and suspicion of central authority. It was dedicated uncompromisingly to the principle that the proper goal of a just and ordered society was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Indeed, you can almost hear an echo of the scaffold speech of a doomed king who reminded his tormentors on the 30th of January in 1649 that he had fought and lost for the cause of having those laws by which every man's life and property may be most his own. 2 years later, in 1789, another group of revolutionaries, the French, met to proclaim a different order, quite as novel but radically opposed to the traditions and genius of the great French nation. They proclaimed their dedication to liberty, let's call it license, equality, and fraternity. Equality, above all, became the byword of the emerging totalitarian spirit. The last two centuries have witnessed in many variations and in many places the continuing conflict of these two basic themes, neither of which is, of course, mutually exclusive nor without influence upon the other. Indeed, it's ironic that France, in which these doctrines first found voice, has been inoculated, and that the enduring conservative spirit of the country has resisted totalitarian rule most fiercely. But the power and appeal of equality, even if it is nothing more than a simplistic expression of leveling envy, ran far beyond the borders of France. Marx, Lenin, and Mao, to name a few, have twisted and molded and hammered and forged the pernicious idea of equality, melded with other authoritarian traditions, into an awesome instrument for the destruction of civilization and the degradation of the human spirit. The forces which stand for personal economic liberty have been unable to devise political, social, and economic structures strong enough to withstand the assaults of these would-be tyrants. Conservatives have preoccupied themselves with proving to one another the efficiency of the free market and the beauty of political democracy, while the world is sunk into abyss. The idea of human freedom with its concomitant responsibilities has failed to capture the enthusiasm of the world's inchoate masses. The concerns to which most conservatives aver are simply irrelevant to the man in the street. The moral basis of the free society has been systematically undermined by the siren song of equality. Is it possible that self-government can be better managed other than by the tortuous processes of representative democracy? Can we as conservatives restate eternal truths in such a way that they can match the appeal of totalitarian slogans? Those of you who attended the regional meeting last year heard Hayek ruminate upon possible alternatives to the existing systems of representative democracy with a simple majoritarian decision rule and a wide franchise. I'd only offer this main, even repugnant thought that representative democracy may ultimately be incompatible with personal and economic liberty. Today, we're fortunate in having three well-qualified and interesting speakers who will address widely differing aspects of this all-encompassing struggle for the minds and hearts of mankind. Mr. Dornan will discuss present foreign policy trends in light of the self-destructive assumptions so popular in the chanceries of the Western world. Mr. Harrigan will address himself to the awesome challenge posed by the Third World to the values, indeed the physical survival of the West. Mr. Methven will discuss the Herculean task of preserving a free society against both internal and external decay and demolition without destroying the very basis of personal liberty within that society. Each of these areas is critical in the formulation of ideas of a battle plan which will enable us to win the struggle for the world and perhaps someday restore the hapless subjects of barbarian oppression to the sunshine of freedom. We are going to speak in the order laid out on the program. Our first speaker is Dr. Doornan, who is Associate Professor and Chairman of the Department of Politics at the Catholic University of America. He graduated magna cum laude from Lemoyne and took his doctorate at Johns Hopkins. He's widely published, and he is, of course, a contributing editor to the Intercollegiate Review. Dr. Doornan.